So today I will be talking about an automated analysis of electronic audit logs. And this was work with Patrick Baxter, Keishla Ortez, Anna Maria Quevedo, Samuel Rodriguez, Cynthia Sturton, and David Wagner. So first, a little bit of background. We chose to analyze the audit logs of direct recording electronic voting machines. And this was for a number of reasons, one of which is that 33% of voters used DREs in the 2010 U.S. elections. And by law, these DREs have to produce audit logs, although they don't automatically collect them in a central location. But that's something I'll talk about later on. And these DRE audit logs contain an enormous amount of information, from minute election day details to anomalous warning signs. And some of the events they record are votes being cast, machines being opened or closed, different warning signs like low batteries or calibration errors. They also record cast vote records. And these are just some examples. The logs actually contain many more different events. And with all this information, it's not completely obvious how to use it or what can be gleaned from it. Manual audits also are very time-consuming and tedious and introduce the aspect of human error into the audit process. So for these reasons, audit data is rarely used by election officials. So our research was aimed at showing how DRE audit data can be used and what can be gained from it. And we were able to uncover different procedural errors and vote miscounts. And the information that we can get from this data will help election officials run elections more smoother in the future. And when I say this, I mean they will be able to better allocate resources, or if certain poll worker training manuals need adjustment or work, they can use this information for that. We can also report machines that are malfunctioning that might need to be repaired. And then when we ran a case study, we found that over 2,000 votes were not being counted in the official tallies. And we were also able to predict patterns of long lines at different polling locations. We then automated our analyses and created a tool called Audit Bear. It's publicly available online. Election officials just upload audit logs to the site, and in a few minutes it will return up to 14 different reports. And the aim of the results of these analyses isn't to improve the security of DREs, but more to improve the reliability of elections that use DREs. We know that there are many studies that show the security vulnerabilities of DREs, and we aren't pushing to use them in more locations, but while a third of voters are using them, we think it's important that they're reliable in the future. So after the election and audit logs are produced, officials upload them and get results. The logs that we require are an event log listing every event that occurs with a timestamp, what machine was used, and we also require the cast vote records. We also, it's optional to upload the system log listing, and if this is uploaded as well, we can get more from the logs and return more results. And when we were coming up with our analyses, we tailored them towards the ESNS Ivotronic DRE. We did this for a couple of reasons, one of which is that the Ivotronic supports electronic audit logs and automatically collects them in a central location. The Ivotronic also had publicly available audit data, which made it easier to write these analyses. And this is a picture of the Ivotronic voting terminal. The Ivotronic also uses a proprietary cartridge, a PEB, personalized electronic ballot. And polling locations are supplied with two types of PEBs, a master PEB and an activator PEB. The master has a red stripe, activators have green stripes, and they're used for different procedural purposes, but internally they're exactly the same. The Ivotronic also has a removable compact flash drive, which serves as memory, and this is where all the audit data comes from. So how do the audit logs come from these machines? Well, poll workers have to follow certain procedures in order to successfully create these audit logs. And what they do is they take the one master PEB at a polling location, insert it into every machine, and when it's inserted into this machine, it will close the machine and also upload all the vote totals from that machine onto the PEB. After that, all the compact flashcards are removed from the different machines, and all these compact flashcards along with the master PEB are sent to Election Central. And as all this data is uploaded to the database, the system log file is created. So after this process, we will have the three different logs that are necessary for our log analysis. And this is the event log, the cast vote records, and the system log. And after election officials can upload this to AuditBear and it analyzes the data, it will return different reports. This is an example report here. And there are three main components to our reports, the first being the priority level. And this is indicated by a warning sign next to the name of the report. And high priority reports are listed first. Reports saying that votes were not counted is a high priority report, and hopefully election officials can take action when they see this. The second part is the actual data that we extracted from the audit logs, and this includes information about polling locations or specific machines or specific PEBs. And hopefully this will give them enough information to react to the error. And the last part is our suggestion. And in the case of missing votes, we suggest that they go back to the polling location and they track down that PEB so that the votes collected on that PEB can be uploaded to Election Central. And this is a list here of different types of errors that AuditBear can detect. Missing votes is one. It can also find times at polling locations with long lines. Procedural errors such as using the wrong type of PEB to collect votes at the end of the day can be detected. Hardware issues such as calibration errors are also found. And incomplete audit data and incorrect timestamps we can also detect, at least to some extent. And this is a big problem. If we have incomplete audit data and incorrect timestamps, it affects the accuracy of our audits. And naturally, when dealing with audit logs, voter privacy is a topic to be considered. And we wanted to make sure that there was no personally identifiable information in any of the logs we used. And we also wanted to make sure that someone watching the polls and sees someone vote at 11:52 in the morning cannot go to the audit logs and infer how they voted. So all the cast vote records are randomly ordered, and there are no forms of cast vote records in the event log, which does contain timestamps. And then we ran our analyses on data we got from South Carolina. And South Carolina does use the ESNS Ivotronic. It does not have a paper trail. And as of November 2010, it did not conduct any post-election audits. So we got our data set from a previous Freedom of Information Act request. And this included data from 14 different counties in South Carolina. The data included event logs, system logs, cast vote records, and manual adjustment files for the 14 counties. Our analyses did not use any of the manual adjustment files, but we did use the other three. And for our research, we assumed that these logs were accurate and trustworthy. We had no way to guarantee this, but we considered it out of scope to handle accidental or malicious tampering of the audit logs. So our first analysis was finding missing votes. And with the Ivotronic system, there were two different ways we could detect this. And that was if the PEBs weren't uploaded to Election Central, and also if machines weren't closed at the polling location. For PEBs not being uploaded, keep in mind that this one PEB is used to collect the vote totals on every single machine in a polling location. And if that PEB doesn't make it to Election Central, then those votes aren't counted. So in order to find instances of this error, we went through the audit logs and were able to make a list of all PEBs used to close machines and cross-listed that with all PEBs uploaded according to the system log file. Then, in order to find machines that weren't closed, if the machine wasn't closed, then that PEB was not inserted into the machine and did not collect the vote totals from that machine. So, in this case, we looked for all machines opened on election day, had votes cast on it, and weren't closed. Then when we ran this on the South Carolina data, we had some interesting results, and 7 of the 14 counties that we audited had at least one PEB that wasn't uploaded. And this accounted for over 2,000 votes not being counted in official tallies. So 2,000 people voted, and it made no difference on the election. We also found 3 different machines out of the 14 counties that were not closed, and this added 100 more votes that weren't counted in official tallies. And all this audit data has been there, but as far as we know, no one has used it yet. So our next analysis was a little bit trickier, and it was trying to find locations that had long lines at particular times of the day. And long lines can really affect the fairness of an election. It can deter voters from coming to vote or making them leave after they've waited in line for a while. And previous studies have shown that long lines vary. There's a variety of how long the lines are or if there's more long lines based on a socioeconomic neighborhood. And so this really does affect the fairness of elections. And in order to find cases where there were long lines, we wanted to find times during the day when there was the least idle time between cast votes. And a shortcoming of the audit logs is that it only records votes being cast. It does not record when ballots are started. So given the case someone cast a vote at 1:30 and then another vote at 1:35, it may have been the situation where a voter came in at 1:33, and there was 3 minutes of idle time and the voter took 2 minutes to vote. But it may also have been the case where someone came in at directly after the first vote was cast, and this would indicate long lines to us. So right now, from the event log, this time frame is a mystery to us. But we do know that in South Carolina, the polls close at 7 p.m., and that if there's any votes being cast after 7 p.m., then we know there's a line. And so given this information, we could say that if someone cast a vote at 7:12 and another vote at 7:15, that this person took 3 minutes to vote. And using this, we first found all polling locations that were open late after 7 p.m., and when we looked at this for the South Carolina data, we found quite a few machines that were open just until 7 or 7:10, and maybe this was due to slightly inaccurate timestamps. But we also found a few machines that were open till 8:40, 8:50, and these are probably better indicators of polling locations that had lines. We then wanted to extend this to see where are the long lines during the day. And other research has shown that the average voting time doesn't vary based on the time of day. So the average time it takes to vote at 7:30 at night is fairly similar to the average time it takes to vote at 10 in the morning. And with this, we took the average time at a polling location that it took to vote after 7 p.m. and compared it to the average time to vote in one-hour windows throughout the day. And if this time to vote during the day was less than or equal to the time to vote after 7 p.m., we would conclude that there were lines at that time at that polling location. And when we ran this on the data set we had, we found 3 main parts of the day that had long lines, one being early in the morning between 7 and 8 right when the polls open, another during lunchtime, midday, and then again when polls close between 6 and 7. And as we were going through these logs, we had a few suggestions for future voting systems that would make them more conducive to log analysis. And the main one being that they should provide automatic generation of the logs and also automatic collection of the logs in one place. This is one of the reasons we chose to use the iVotronic, and in order to make more systems conducive to the log analysis, this is one of the essential features they need. We also want to stress the importance of a somewhat accurate date and timestamp. A lot of our analyses really only pertain to election day events, and if you can't determine what's on election day, you might be including information that you don't necessarily care about or be missing data that you actually do want to audit. We also would suggest logging a ballot activation event for the case where we want to find long lines. It would make that kind of an analysis more accurate. And we also had a couple suggestions about documentation. We want more of it, and we also want it available to the public. There were quite a few events in the event log that we looked at that are kind of alarming. We found a few cases where the event was just unknown in all capital letters. And there are probably quite a few events that indicate problems that we'd want to detect, but we don't know the meaning of these events. And making them available to the public will help the public know what's happening in their election and hopefully improve their confidence in it. So in conclusion, we were able to show that there is valuable information in these audit logs. We were able to extract information from them and provide this to election officials. And lastly, we were able to create a publicly available tool to make these analyses more easily accessible to election officials. So thank you.
We got some questions.
That's very Peter? Nice. A couple of questions on on the iVotronic. Mm-hmm. Were there things that were missing in the audit trail that would have helped you a great deal more? The second question is: have you thought about applying this to other types of voting machines, where in some cases there are absolutely minimal audit logs,
right?
And in some cases they're proprietary and you're not allowed to look at them.
Yep. So for the iVotronic, we did find missing data. We did find cases of incomplete audit data. Some of the cast vote records were missing, but also logging more events would help us recreate election day events more accurately. So that's something we would suggest in the future for other systems. And the second question was, what was that? Oh, yes. Right. We looked into some of the other machines just briefly to see if it would be applicable to other machines, and most of them don't automatically collect them in a central location, and that was a big shortcoming of that. There's also some machines where voter privacy would be, it wouldn't be maintained, so we couldn't use those machines for this type of analysis either.
Wouldn't it have been especially helpful to log the start of voting?
Yes.
You wouldn't have to defer all these things
then? Yes, yep, logging those events as well.
So I want to ask a question about that, the last point you made, which is that the audit logs may contain too much information that do allow you to infer something about who cast which vote. Have you thought about producing a tool that identifies those circumstances when they occur?
We haven't really thought about that, but coming up with a way to verify the privacy of these logs would make a tool like this better. And we only looked at the iVotronic to see if that system would protect voter privacy. we did see cases where machines wouldn't, and it was clear, but we didn't come up with a way to verify the privacy.
No, I was just looking for identifying places where it doesn't protect privacy and alerting election officials to that point.
Yes, yeah, that would be a good addition. Mm-hmm.
So this is absolutely great work. I think post-election log analysis like this should be standard practice everywhere. It just makes so much sense. But I was wondering how much you dug into potential for looking for security problems within the machine by looking at this log data, because that seems like something where if you've attacked the machine but not attacked it perfectly well, you might end up having inconsistencies in the different data structures.
Right. And we didn't look into any security problems with the machine. We didn't have access to a machine. We just had the logs that were previously requested. So we didn't look into detecting security problems from the logs, but I think that would be really interesting future work.
I have some logs from other, one or two other kinds of machines, if you'd like to look into some of that. Please see me later.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank
you very much.
So actually I have a question as a chair's prerogative. I got an email 3 days ago from somebody in Grayson County, Texas, who they use the Ivotronic, and they just had an election. They're working with a candidate in the sheriff position, and they say, let me see, where's the meat of this? Essentially, there were two people running for this, and when it reported, so one was sort of for the contest, there was someone who was in the first position, someone in the second position, and when they're reported, those were flipped, and it was a really tight election. Anyway, is this, depending on what the hell is happening, it may not be anything, but I'm wondering, you know, is this the kind of thing that this could detect specifically with the Ivotronic? Are there ways to notice, because the only thing I can think of that would cause this is some sort of ballot definition problem. And I think this is an older Ivotronic, so that may be a case of where there's versions of the Ivotronic. There's a really old version that's like, I think it's even called the Votronic, but some people in the room probably know about that. So I'm wondering, to what extent does this work across different Ivotronics, and can I tell these people, get those audit logs, stick it in this thing, and you may find, it may not answer your questions, but it may find more interesting
stuff. Yeah, so we only use the data, and all this data probably came from the same type of Ivotronic. And I'm not sure, it might detect different anomalies from that kind of situation, but yeah, there's no harm in trying it out. So
one more question: how extensible is this? I'm assuming it, knowing it's related to David Wagner, it's probably in GitHub or available somewhere.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to adapt this, I guess there's another question here. But if someone wanted to adapt this to another machine's kind of logs, is it written generally enough to where it's just sort of adding a module to where you could do that? And
yeah.
I'll save my other question in a second. Sorry to hog the questions.
It is separated, so we do have parsers for the logs. And given that other logs have the same type of information, then it can, we have to write new parsers, but the actual analyses should work the same.
And then the final question, unless someone else wants to ask one, can you give us an example of something you saw in logs that was so implicative, that's a horrible word, of privacy that you didn't want to extend the analysis to those? Like, what's a concrete example? Is it just non-random ordering of time of vote cast events, or is it something more substantial, like Joe cast a vote or something?
Right, and we didn't see anything like that with the Ivotronic. I have heard with other machines that there are forms of cast vote records in event logs, which have the timestamp right next to the cast vote record, and that kind of a thing would not work with our analysis.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much. Let's thank our speaker once more.
Mm-hmm.